سلام 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 لتجعلنا يا رب أيامنا على هذه الأرض بشرى السلام Peaceful peace. We made peace a symbol of ours. In the name of peace, we gather here now. Oh Lord, please make these days of ours on this earth filled with peace. Salam, 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 salam. سلام 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 سلام
محمد نبينا.
Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7 is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Our listeners at home, my name is Abdul Hakim Qasim and I welcome you to another edition of Everyday Muslim Show on Women Radio 91.7 FM. Today is Saturday, the 7th of February 2026, corresponding to the 19th day of Sha'ban 1447 AH. It is the third Saturday of the 8th month of the Hijra year, the month of Sha'ban, in the year 1447 AH. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sparing our lives up till today and for the gift of good health. We're just about 11 days to the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spare our lives till then and beyond. Allahumma barik lana fi Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. Allahumma ameen. On this program, Everyday Muslim Show, we try to address misconceptions about Islam, foster peaceful coexistence within the society, and guide the everyday Muslim on their journey in Islam. This program is made possible by the Muslim Public Affairs Center, MPAC, in partnership with Women Radio 91.7 FM. Allah the Almighty, the Exalted, says in the glorious Quran, Quran chapter 2, verse 283, Allah says, O you who believe, observe fasting, which is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, that you may become the pious one. Today we're looking at Ramadan, which is very much around the corner. And in preparation for the month of Ramadan, we want to look at something very important. That is Ramadan, preparing your body, your mind and soul for a meaningful month. Preparing your mind, your body and your soul for the month of Ramadan. And inshallah, we would be going into that very shortly. This is just to let you know that this program is streaming live on YouTube via the Women Radio page. Search Women Radio on YouTube, click on the page and join to view the studio live. Later on the program, we'll open our phone lines for you to call in and share your thoughts. This program again is brought to you by the Muslim Public Affairs Center in partnership with Women Radio 91.7 FM. The program is Everyday Muslim. So we are seeking your sponsorship and advert placement to keep this program going. So we want you to bring in your products and services for us to actually help bring to the attention of the world, and we believe that you will do that in due course. And even for those of you who have one Ramadan program or the other, different programs and different services that you want to bring to the awareness of the people in the holy month of Ramadan and beyond, this is a very good platform for you to do that, inshallah. So like I said earlier, we want to take a look at Ramadan. As we know, Ramadan is not merely a month we enter. It is a state that we are meant to arrive at, prepared, conscious, and intentional. Yet for many Muslims, Ramadan comes faster than readiness, unfortunately, actually. So we look forward to it with excitement, but often step into it with tired bodies, unmanaged health conditions, and distracted minds. The pattern is familiar. Energy in the first days, exhaustion by the second week, and endurance by the end. But Ramadan was never meant to be endured. It was meant to transform spiritually, mentally, and physically. And that's why Islam engages the whole human being. The soul through worship, the mind through discipline, and the body through fasting. Neglecting any one of these and the experience becomes incomplete. As a result, today's conversation intentionally brings together Islamic guidance and medical wisdom, because for Muslims managing hypertension, diabetes, ulcers, pregnancy, and other health challenges, Ramadan is not just about fasting, it is about fasting safely, responsibly, and faithfully. And inshallah, driving the discussion today on Ramadan, preparing your body, mind, and soul for a meaningful month, we are being joined by two respected personalities in Islam. We have Sheikh Abdul Rahman Adangba and Hajia Hafsa Folashade Babatunde. Sheikh Abdul Rahman Adangba, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, sir. It's like you're muted, sir.
Are you listening? Need to now? Mute yourself, are you hearing
we
me?
We can't hear you really.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Oh, we're having a challenge with the audio there.
So are you hearing me now? Hello?
Just let me confirm if the audio is working perfectly.
Okay, hello, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Sheikh, you might need to check your audio. Okay.
My audio is fine.
Hajia Hafsa of Olashare Baba today. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi.
I can hear all of you very well. Are you hearing me too?
I can hear you, Sheikh, but I'm not sure you can hear us.
From my own end here. Apologies for that.
So it's up to be in their end. I want you to say
Sheikh Abdurrahman Adangba is not a new face on this program, but you never can tell. You might have someone who is listening for the first time, and whom I actually, coming across that name for the first time. So Sheikh Abdurrahman Adangba, for those who don't know, is a respected Islamic scholar and the Imam of Adangba Central Mosque, Idimu, in Alimosha local government area of Lagos State. He is a seasoned marriage counselor and a public analyst, regularly offering insightful commentary on television and radio. Sheikh Adangba also serves as a publicity ambassador with Heavenly World Propagation of Light, HWPL, an international peace organization headquartered in Seoul, South Korea. Beyond his public engagement, he is a dedicated teacher, mentor, husband, and father, deeply committed to community development and Islamic education. He is the founder over an Islamic educational center in Idimu, where the Quran and Islamic jurisprudence are taught with depth, clarity, and authenticity. Again, Sheikh Abdulrahman Adangba, it's a pleasure to have you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh again, sir.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Are you hearing me now? Oh, wow.
All right. Okay. Now, our second guest is Haji Afola Shadiaf Sobabatunde. She is an experienced dietitian, nutritionist, a teacher, and a social entrepreneur. She provides nutrition support for the prevention and management of chronic health conditions and is passionate about simplifying and localizing evidence-based nutrition and health information to empower individuals to make informed diet and lifestyle choices. Haji Afola Shadi had her first and second degrees in nutrition and dietetics, a professional diploma in education, and she is a member of the Dietitians Association of Nigeria and the British Dietetic Association. She currently serves as the team lead at Poisera Nutrition Nigeria and also works as a dietitian in the UK. Once again, Haji Afola Shadi, Hafsobabatunde, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's a pleasure to have you on this program again.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Can you hear me now?
Absolutely, right. Loud and clear. Thank you very much. All right, thank you. Thank you. Okay.
But I don't think you can hear me, though.
I can hear you, sir. I can hear you, Sheikh. I can hear you loud and clear.
I think it's all audio has been fixed.
So that.
Let me remove this. I want to personalize the voice for you alone, but now I've removed it. Let's go on.
Okay. All right. So, alhamdulillah. All right. So. Okay, so Sheikh Abdulrahman Adangba, let me start with you.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, as Muslims, you know, we often talk about entering Ramadan, but a lot of times we have people really not talking about preparation for it. From an Islamic perspective, why does preparation matter so deeply? And it's a 3-in-1 question. Let me put it this way. So, why is it does it matter for us to prepare for Ramadan deeply? And what is the spirituality that is lost when preparation is neglected? And how did the Prophet and probably the early generations prepare for Ramadan in ways that those of us that are Muslims today really might have forgotten?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salam ala ashraf al-mursaleen, Sayyidina Muhammad,
sallallahu
alayhi wa. Let's look at it from the human perspective before we go into the spiritual, godly perspective. You see, when you have an adversary, you want to prepare for an adversary.
Yeah.
The only thing you do is gather everything that you want to do. But there is one single thing that will be kept away from all people. The zeal of preparing for that adversary. Not the objects, not the materials, not the people, but that adversary stuck into your head. And the zeal of wanting to meet it is one thing. So in preparing for Ramadan, which is spiritual, if the zeal is not there, that I want to enter into this anniversary, definitely you are not going to do it. You are not going to get it. And you are not going to be able to do it. And in Ramadan, why it is different from the other human preparations in anniversaries is there is a soldier guiding you. That soldier that is guiding you is inside you, not outside of you.
Yeah.
And that soldier is named conscience. So that conscience must be reawakened, re-alerted that you are going to face something very peculiar that comes once in a year that leaves you purified, that gives you ability to gain rewards, and at the end of the day, be as newly as a new yearly born. Look at it that way. So it is then you have to look at two things. One, the mental preparedness. Secondly, the physical preparedness. Today, we are not going to the physical preparedness, which a lot of people give importance to, they give priority to. No. The physical preparedness, which is about food, which is about your praying, which is about everything, it can be reached gradually as you move into Ramadan. But the very first preparedness, which comes before Ramadan, which is the spirit, that has to do with your mentality.
So your mentality will not give you the ideology, which will make you format the methodology that you have used in the past years, which has made you fail, and you don't want to fail in this one. So you have the mentality to the ideology of what Ramadan is, although it's a public concern that it belongs to the world, it belongs to Allah. But the methodology of how you are going to do it, you should be remembered, because all over the year that you have been coming from the last Ramadan, you have been drawn away with a lot of distractions, and that is from Shaitan. That Shaitan lives with you too. It lives inside your conscience. But you're not wary of the month. So the fact that you know that this new month, this Ramadan coming month, belongs to Allah, you want to engage Allah, Allah wants to engage you, and you people will meet. So the mentality towards the ideology and the methodology of you, how you are going to present yourself in front of the Creator, should be your watchword. Thank you. So planning as in reenacting your zeal, which we call the niyyah, but it's the zeal now. The niyyah is there already, but the zeal of how you are going to face it is very, very sacrosanct, and you must be able to prepare yourself for that.
All right. Was there any special way that the early generations, the companions, the Prophet and his companions, and the Salaf, is there any special way by which they prepare for Ramadan that is different from probably the way those of us today actually do? Sheikh.
Yeah, you can see that in the word of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, related by Aisha, where she says that Rajab, so Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells them that it is my month, and what he said about Shaban, and when he now said in Shaban that Allahumma Balighna Ramadan. It means some people has gone to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asking him that Ramadan is coming. How do we prepare ourselves? He now told them that, look, I don't want to bring us into the Quran first before I give what we should do. He now told them that this Rajab that we call Awarubu is my month. But Aisha said he never fasted singularly in any month of Shaban. So he fasted in Rajab, he fasted in Shaban, and tell people that, okay, even the fast you did in Rajab, the one you are doing now in Shaban, just pray that Allah gets you to Ramadan, which belongs to Allah, because Shah Ramadan, Shah Allah. Sacredness of the month belongs to Allah. Reward in the month is solely from Allah. So your fasting is to Allah, and the reward is solely from Allah. And it is on an individual basis. So if people do not disturb the Holy Prophet of how Ramadan is going to be, definitely you know he will not have said that. Consider this in the hadith of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, they have said that this is the way you are going to do it. And you know Islam, you have five pillars. Yes. The Iman, the Salat, the Zakat, the Sawm, and the Hajj. But Allah is telling us that it is only one thing you need in all. And that, what is that one thing? When he said he should prepare for Hajj, he said, Fatazawwadu. Before you go there, Fatazawwadu is an order, a standing order, a general order. An order that must not be defection in it. He said, Fatazawwadu, that comes in a plural form. Fatazawwadu, it is like a voice to an order. Fatazawwadu, it is like you should be happy when doing it. Fatazawwadu, you see, they come.
I just want us to be time conscious, because
Taqwa. So if it is taqwa in Hajj, it will be taqwa in Zakat, it will be taqwa in Sawm, it will be taqwa in Salat, and it will be taqwa in Iman. He now came back to Ramadan and said, "Yuridu bikum al-yusra wa la yuridu bikum al-usra. I do not want to impose any burden on you. All I want for you is ease." And this is where the benefits of Ramadan lies. So the way they prepare for it then is by asking question of how this one is going to be. Is it going to be different from the other one? Is it going to be the same thing? It is all the same, all true. But you must reawaken yourself to realize yourself into meeting that very, 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 very gracious month,
right,
which gives you all that you want.
Okay, sir. Jazakum Allah khairan, ya Sheikh. Let me come to you, Haji Hassa. I know quite well that for a lot of people, you know, there is this natural thing or natural belief that when Ramadan comes, the body system would adjust, you know. So, but then, from a nutritional and medical standpoint, what does a truly Ramadan-ready body, what does it really look like? And what warning signs suggest someone, especially those living with hypertension, diabetes, or ulcers, should not rush into fasting without proper guidance?
Jazakallah khairan, thank you so much for the opportunity to share.
Yeah.
And so this is a very important question. And honestly, it's one of the areas where faith and health, you know, wisdom comes together.
Yeah,
and
absolutely,
obviously there's a need to think about health when we're fasting. A lot of people assume that the body will just, you know, figure it out,
yeah,
when we start to fast. And but Ramadan goes much more smoothly when the body's more prepared. And so from the nutrition and, you know, medical side of things, a prepared body should obviously have, you know, stable energy levels. For example, you're not constantly crashing, you know, feeling dizzy or being dependent on, you know, sugary food or caffeine to function throughout the day. Your body is more comfortable to go through, you know, several hours between meals without feeling, you know, shaky, you know, weak, or, you know, you're still full of energy all through the day if you're able to do that. And that is an indication that obviously you have a stable energy level. Secondly, you have balanced blood sugar levels, and what that, you know, could mean. And this is not only for people, you know, who are living with diabetes, because a lot of times when we talk about blood sugar, the first thing that comes to mind is people with diabetes, but every one of us have got sugars in our blood.
Absolutely.
And so it's very, you know, important to ensure that, you know, there are no extreme fluctuations between blood sugar levels, and it means your body is then able to adapt better, you know, during the long hours of fasting. And then, you know, a well-hydrated body. Ramadan is coming, and so hydration is one of the key things. Many people get dehydrated during Ramadan.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, so, you know, a body that is ready will be one that is well hydrated, someone who is already drinking adequate fluid and does not obviously rely on, you know, sugary drinks or caffeine to get through the day. That way, a body, you know, that is well hydrated would be more better positioned to obviously go through fasting without feeling that, without being at risk of, you know, dehydration, or maybe have lower risk of, you know, dehydration. And I think lastly is about, you know, your digestion. Many times during Ramadan, a lot of people, you know, if you're not eating too much, you're eating too less during Ramadan. And so, you know, ensuring that your gut is in a very stable place that can obviously helps help you better. But if you're already struggling with your digestive system, for example, you know, you're dealing with ulcer, you're dealing with constipation, there's just so many things that could go wrong, you know, during Ramadan. And but some of the warning signs that obviously people with, you know, diabetes, for example, you know, hypertension, or, you know, ulcer can, you know, look out for. If, for example, you have diabetes and currently your blood sugar level is, you know, uncontrolled, you're having, so, you know, either high levels or low levels, you know, all of the extreme, you're feeling very dizzy, all of the signs that shows that your blood sugar level is not well balanced. Obviously, before fasting, you want to speak to your doctor before even going ahead. It's also something similar for people with hypertension, where either you're having very high values, you're feeling low, you know, you're on medication, you can't afford to miss your medication. Obviously, it shows your blood pressure is not well controlled. Or if you have ulcer, for example, and you know, you are always having pain all through the day, you are either vomiting or seeing blood in your stool, or you know, you can't just go through the day, you have to use your medication every day all through, it's very important that, you know, these are signs that you might not be, you know, in the best, you know, health status to fast. And that's why it's very important to obviously see your doctors before going ahead, you know, based on those signs.
All right, Jazakumullah khairan, thank you very much. So the emphasis here is see your doctor, get yourself you know, medically certified,
checked.
Yeah, so yes, checked and certified to be sure that you can actually proceed to fast. And that's very key. Now coming to you, Sheikh, you know quite well that just like Haji Hafsa has just talked about the need to take care of our body. We know quite well that, you know, in Islam they say our body is a trust on us. It also has a right on us. But then we have many Muslims that believe that the greater physical hardship that you undertake with your body, then the greater the reward that you will get. So how should Muslims truly understand hardship in worship, especially for those with health challenges? And where does Islam draw the line between devotion and self-harm?
Alhamdulillah. You see, these are questions that are very pertinent to human existence and mentality. When so people tell you that their own ideology, the understanding of worship, is that you should make your body go through hardship. No, it's wrong. Allah says in the Ramadan verses, the four Ramadan verses, that يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah does not portray or pretend any hardship for your body. No. If we go by what the nutritionist has just said, you see, and that is so simple. Just follow the rules. And when you condition yourself to the rules, then definitely you find it at ease. You go to the doctor to find out if anything is wrong with you that will decay you fasting. That is number one. Go to your doctor. But if it does not, or you check yourself, you see it's not going to deter you, then you don't defy it. Allah says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, you can defy it through the regulations that Allah has given in the Quran. If you can't do it, the difference then are in three places. Number one, feed a fasting person. Number two, collect, give money in progress for somebody who will be cooking for fasting people. And number three, do away with the fasting. Your body can fast for you during the Ramadan while it's still fasting its own. So in those cases, the action that is meant that your body should go through is abstinence. Abstinence is the fast that they are regarding to EBL. You should your body should go. The more you do yourself hardships, the more you have reward. No, the hardships there is abstinence. You know you don't want abstinence. You don't want anybody drinking alcohol will not want to abstain. So abstaining from alcohol is a hardship to the person. Anybody doing perfecting some illicit acts will not want to go away from it. But in that month, you should do away from it. Anybody that is involved in zina or any other thing, or abusing people, or doing perfecting anything that is not good, don't want to go through it. So when you go away from it, from dusk to dawn, and your body becomes stimulated into going away from which is the abstinence, then the medicine has been given to shaitan. And once you are stayed away from all these illicit acts, then you have rewards. So, but it is hard for you to go because the Holy Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said an hadith. He said, "Jubilatul kulube ala hubbi man ahsana ilayha." It is so is clamored and ordained to love those who love it, to love those who love things that he has been doing. Wabuk diman asa ilay, and it will be envious or jealousy or hateful or anything that does not, that his soul is not accustomed to. So now, what is our souls not accustomed to? Our souls are not accustomed into wanting things for ourselves that Allah says you should not do for yourself because the end result is bad. So when it is Ramadan, either you like it or not, you go away from it. So the more you go away from it, looks like hardship. It's not that hardship. It's not the practical hardship. Okay. It's not inflicting injuries on you or inflicting something that it is going to be injurious on your body. No, that's not what the ulama say. We should understand that abstaining from all those illicit acts, perpetrating atrocities that are not accepted humanly, is the hardship there. So the more you go away from those things, the more you are closer to Allah, and the more reward it gets.
All right. Okay. I know quite well. Well, for a lot of people who feel like, well, I don't do those things. But then, legitimately, so even you have your food, it is legal, But then, out of the fear of Allah, Allah has told you to abstain from eating and drinking. That's also a kind of hardship, even though it's something that is even permitted. But then you enjoy it. And then at the end of the day, you're abstaining for the sake of Allah. Well, like you have said, that's also a kind of form of hardship. You love your sleep, but you feel like, oh, out of the worship of Allah, let me wake up in the night to, you know, perform salah, to, you know, praise Allah and to worship Allah. It's also a kind of hardship. So, but then you're saying that you just have to be balanced. It's not until you inflict hardship upon yourself. If probably you are supposed to break your fast very early, but you now decide that no, until it is very dark in the night, that's when. So you don't have to, it's not about the punishment that you inflict upon yourself that actually talks about piety. Jazakallah khairan for that. Now, Hajja Hafsa, we know that there are people that are living with high blood pressure, diabetes and ulcers and other long-term illness. Fasting without preparation can worsen symptoms and lead to serious complications, like you have said. So are there specific medical and nutritional steps that such individuals can take before Ramadan to determine whether and how they can fast safely?
Thank you. This is another very important question, because for people with chronic health condition, going ahead to fast without planning can be life would really risky. And so preparation is not only optional, it is essential and could be life-saving if they get to do it. And so there are six things that I would like to share. Obviously, the first thing is, if you would you're living with a chronic medical condition and you want to fast, you want to ensure that you go for your medical checkup even before Ramadan starts. Speak with your medical team, check, let them assess your current health status. Is this safe for you to fast before you then, go ahead to fast? And if obviously this, your doctor think it's okay for you to fast, obviously you want to discuss your fasting plan. There will be need for adjusting your medication, because you wouldn't be eating all through the day. So if you have diabetes, for example, and you're using your medication as you would normally use it if you were fasting, and that could put you obviously at health risk. So there's a need to, adjust your medication, even adjust the timing, and maybe even change the type of medication you're using, just to ensure that it fits, the fasting period for you. And keep you safe. So it's very important to speak to your medical team. Secondly, you also want to continue to monitor your health. Check your blood pressure regularly if you have hypertension. Check your blood sugar, regularly if you have high blood sugar levels. Keep that monitoring going. This is the time when you even need to monitor as much as you can. Thirdly, you want to do trial fast. If you're planning to fast and you have, you haven't been fasting, you have diabetes, you want to try fasting. It could be short fast. It could be partial fast before you go ahead to fast in Ramadan. This would help you, obviously assess how your body is able to tolerate that long hours of fasting before you then go ahead in Ramadan to fast. And then the nutritional side of things is, you want to plan your meals ahead, personalize your diet. There's a need for you to hydrate properly. There's a need for you to, ensure that your meals are balanced, on your plate. You want to have, adequate what we call complex carbohydrate, foods that would not digest easily. You want to ensure you have, enough fiber, fats and protein in that meal to make it balanced, and that can help you stabilize your blood sugar level.
Can you give examples? Because all this might just be too scientific.
Yes.
So yeah. Probably break it down to layman like us.
Yes, I do understand. I was just saying that obviously what that means, in translating that to a plate, for example, let's take some people enjoy swallow. We have different category of people and the kind of food they like to eat for some.
Let's make it practical like that.
You have the people who love smoothies. They can't do swallows. Swallow foods during Ramadan. You have the people who they can only eat swallow to fast, and you have the rice and bread people. So whichever category that you belong, what I mean when I did say starchy or complex carbohydrate is carbohydrate that wouldn't digest easily. It means something like oats, for example. Okay. Most of our swallow foods are also in that category, and obviously not overdoing the portion size. If you choose to have oatmeal, for example, you want to ensure in your oatmeal you have oats, you have maybe some nuts, and nuts is would provide you some healthy fats and protein in that meal. You have your milk in there also, that's can help you make it a balance. Some people can even have maybe an extra portion of egg with that meal, just to ensure that they feel full for a longer time. If you are a swallow person, like you have to eat swallow food, so let's take maybe eba, for example. If you are eating eba, you want to ensure that you have your eba, your vegetable soup, whichever of the vegetable soup that you choose to have, have, and you have, you know, a source of, you know, protein in there. Mm-hmm. And so that can make your meal, you know, more balanced. If you are the rice person, you're going for rice, you want to ensure that you have some vegetables on your plate. You have healthy fat like avocado also in your plate, and also your protein, either egg, fish, or, you know, whatever protein that you do enjoy. Obviously, some people struggle with the amount of food they can eat as sahur. So it's just ensuring that you're not overdoing the portion size, but still ensuring that all those foods, you have, you know, a bit of them on your plate, and that can help you keep you full halfway, you know, through the day, while you're also, you know, ensuring, you know, stable energy balance through the day. So that can really, you know, be helpful in terms of the diet side of things. And I think the 15 is, you know, lifestyle adjustment. I think she did, you know, talk about, we, you know, going through hardship, thinking we have to, you know, go through that. And so it means your rest is very important, you know, during fasting. You also want to, you know, adjust your routine. You're fasting already. That's in a form of hardship on your body. So you want to adjust your schedule to ensure that you are not overstressing yourself, overexerting yourself during that period of time. And I think lastly is knowing the red flags. If you have been dealing with a medical condition, you would likely know things you would observe when things are not going well. If you have diabetes, for example, you are at risk of hypoglycemia, and that's low blood sugar levels when you are fasting. You know, for some people, they start to feel weak, they start to shake, their vision is blurred. So all those signs, you want to observe them and take note of them when you are fasting. It's also very important for people that have diabetes to check their blood sugar level, even during the day, while fasting at different intervals, just to ensure that their blood sugar level is still within the range. But if you then see those red flags, it's important for you to break your fast. Sheikh has, you know, talked about you not putting, you have that opportunity to either repair the fast if you are able to, or feed somebody who is fasting, rather than put your health at risk. And so your health is also a priority and is a form of self-care, even in Ramadan. And it's very important to, you know, monitor it as much as you can, especially if you're living with chronic health conditions.
All right. Very quickly, because we'll go on a break now. But then, like you have just mentioned, I have a friend that he also, you know, finds it difficult to eat during Ramadan, and especially for sahur. So we'll just take tea, or just, so I don't know. I'm like, how does the body manage to, you know, cope and survive, you know, a whole month just probably, you know, taking tea during sahur, and be like, I'm okay, and things like that. I'm looking at the level of dehydration, and, you know, is the body not being starved of the required, you know, energy, you know, supplying, you know, nutrients, like you have just mentioned some of these, you know, balanced meal. So what advice would you give to such people?
Well, I know of people who really struggle, and obviously maybe because it's quite early in the day, some people normally wouldn't eat breakfast as early as that. But what I would often, you know, encourage people is to ensure that even if it's just something that you're able to drink, make it very nutritious. So I talked about smoothie people, for example. If you would be able to manage smoothie, you could blend some milk, avocado, and what's it called, banana, for example, if you have it available. That would, you know, hold your body better than you just, you know, drinking beverage and that contains a lot of sugar. You would have easily have that sugar crash when you have, you know, things like that. So you could consider that. And in terms of hydration, really, there's limits to how much water you can drink at sahur. And so it's the period between iftar and sahur before the next day fast that you need to optimize to, you know, ensure that you're drinking quite well to help you stay hydrated.
All right. Jazakumullah khair. But I know, so we'll be going on a short break. I know someone is like, so you mean during the night? I'll go to bed now. So you want me to take more water?
I can share the gym.
So I'll frequent the, you know, the giant. And so why should I take more water? Probably at night and things like that. But then now you're hearing it, and I think it's important for us to actually learn and adjust, you know, our meals and diet properly. So we'll go on a short break. When we return, the program continues. Please stay with us.
My wings and fly me to the sky. I
you are still listening to Everyday Muslim on Women Radio 91.7 FM. This is brought to you by the Muslim Public Affairs Center, MPAC, in partnership with Women Radio 91.7 FM. And we are discussing, Ramadan is coming, how to prepare your body, your mind and soul for a meaningful growth. And we have taken us through the discussion, Sheikh Abdulrahman Adangba and Hajia Hafsa Folashade Babatunde. Sheikh Abdulrahman Adangba is an Islamic scholar, a seasoned marriage counselor, a public affairs analyst, and someone who offers insightful commentary on television and radio. He is a dedicated teacher, mentor, husband, father, and deeply committed to community development and Islamic education. On the other hand, we have Hajia Hafsa Folashade, an experienced dietitian, nutritionist, a teacher, and a social entrepreneur. She currently serves as a lead team lead at Poisera Nutrition Nigeria and also works as a dietitian in the United Kingdom. You can be a part of this discourse by calling the number 07000-917-917. Our toll-free line is for the women, 0800-1235-917. You can also send a message via SMS or WhatsApp to the number 081-55-917-917. I'll take that again. 081-55-917-917. And we have been discussing Ramadan, preparing your mind, your soul for a meaningful month. Preparing your body, your mind and soul for a meaningful month. So let me come over to you, Sheikh. Very quickly, because I want us to manage our time now and we might actually have calls coming in. So beyond physical readiness, actually, Ramadan demands emotional discipline, patience, and mental focus. So from a spiritual lens, how does proper intention, emotional regulation, and consistency in worship protect a believer from burnout and spiritual decline during the month? You know, we have a situation where people start on a high, and before you know it, they start coming down. So how do we maintain, proper emotional regulation and consistency in worship all through the month without suffering burnout or spiritual decline?
Alhamdulillah, when you say emotion, it goes down to perception and personalizing perception. What can drive me to an emotional ginger is not what will drive you to an emotional torture or emotional enjoyment. So when you say emotion, it's personalization, and you are trying to use your perception to personalize something for yourself. Quran says, I'll go back to Hajj again. He said, when you want to perform Hajj, la arafaza, no mouth in dalukutri emotion should come out from you. Or father, something bad from your mouth, so don't allow it. While a fusuka, something you are going to do with your hand, don't let it come. Through your thinking, through your belief, through your thinking, that let me do it, and you notice bad. Wala jidala, and don't engage in arguments. So, as I said in the first instance, that in Hajj, the best of preparation is you showing piety. Now, all those other regulations you should bring to Ramadan again. The father, don't say something bad with your mouth. The fusuka, don't do anything bad with your hand and body. Don't engage in arguments. So that is, if you now look at it holistically, through your existence, you will see that everything that is going to come out of you perceptively, personally, privately, towards yourself and others has been guided against. So when you do that, forget it. So emotion is self-aggrandizement, perception in personalization. So don't allow it. The moment you don't do that, and you are aware, you are conscious from the beginning to the end, which will later become your path of way after the end. So that's what Allah is saying. But emotionally, you should not be attached to yourself, because the watchword for any Muslim is the other person. The other person. That is the only time you can get to Allah. You can get a word from Allah. You can't offend Allah, because a Muslim, for example, will not go into shirk So and that's the only thing you can do to offend Allah. But you can offend Allah through the other person. So why you take cognizance of the other person and ask yourself, who is the other person? Invariably, it is you. You are the other person because you have the soul and you have the body. The soul commands the soul spiritually. The other body, the nerves commands the body, which is the other person to you. So the moment you don't do it to yourself, don't do it to others. So if you don't do it to others, you don't offend Allah. You have guarded yourself against emotional intrusions. May Allah continue to guide us right.
Allahumma ameen. All right. Now, Hajja Hafsa, from your professional experience, how do these things, sugar dependency, dehydration and irregular sleep, as well as poor food choices, worsen fatigue, dizziness, mood swings, and blood sugar instability, especially for people with diabetes and hypertension?
In terms of sugar dependency, obviously, if you're consuming too much sugar, it could lead to, you know, rapid spikes and crash in your blood sugar level. And when this happens, it leaves you tired and you're even craving for more sugar. If you're dehydrated, obviously, you are at risk of, you know, having dizziness, having headaches, you know, and then you're energy levels can also really go low. Irregular sleep can disrupt your hormone balance. It can increase it. It can even, you know, mess up with your hormone and can make it even harder for you to control your blood sugar, especially if you already have diabetes or that, you know, blood sugar issues that you're dealing with. And then your, you know, poor food choices, for example, you're overeating, you're eating too many fried foods, you're eating too much food when you break your fast, for example, because that happens a lot and we see it. You know, you're not hydrating enough. That can, you know, overwhelm your body and it can also, you know, raise your blood sugar levels. And so all this can happen if you don't pay attention to, you know, the things you're eating, or you are just, you know, following the flow because it's Ramadan time and then you've just broken your fast. But some of the things that you can actually do to ensure that, you know, you're able to control or not put yourself at risk of some of the things that I've just said is to ensure that your sahur and your iftar meal are well balanced. I did explain earlier, you know, what we should have on our plate. Your sleep management is also very important. In terms of hydration, we cannot overemphasize the importance of hydration in Ramadan. And, you know, one of the, you know, health conditions many people then, you know, develop during Ramadan is constipation and dehydration because of that long hours of fasting, even depending on which part of the world that you are. It might be longer. And so I did mention earlier, between your iftar and the next morning sahur is the time you have to hydrate. And so what you can do, obviously, is, you know, you can choose hydrating fruits when you're breaking your fast. So, for example, cucumber, watermelon, or any in oranges, and, you know, so many foods that have high water content can be really helpful. If you have ulcer, orange or an acidic fruit might not be the best option for you. So you want to look at things like watermelon or other hydrating, you know, food. Also, I always, you know, advise people that when it's time for Ramadan, have a dedicated water bottle, or it could be nothing fancy, a bottle that you can, you know, fill your water with. When you are going for Tarawih, right, carry that bottle along in between each of the units of prayer. You can sip water. Utilize that time. Sipping water during, you know, at regular intervals, not rushing it, would not make your body, you know, sometimes you drink a lot and then the next thing you're running off to the, you know, restroom to pee. But if you sip water at regular interval, your body wouldn't see it as excess, right? So, and so your body is able to use it better. So optimize that time, you know, before you then go to sleep. Also, when you wake up for sahur, you know, some people would then, you know, even pray extra rakah of salah in the morning. During that time, you can also really optimize the time to increase your intake before you then eat your sahur. So that way, you're able to hydrate all through, and that can also prevent you, you know, if you drink at regular intervals during Tarawih, it also prevents that rush or, you know, you having to wake up at regular interval during the night when you're sleeping to, you know, go to pee, and that can really be helpful, and some of the strategies that you can really use to ensure that you're in a good state here.
All right, Jazakumullah. I love that you have said this. But probably, let me just ask this. For those who probably believe that in order to reduce, you know, the hunger when they're fasting, then they tend to overeat during sahur, and even sometimes at iftar they were like, I have lost many hours of, you know, eating, so they want to recover everything all at once. It seems we have a caller on the line. Let me quickly take that. Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
All right, go ahead, please. Introduce yourself and where you're calling from.
Yusuf Onlamilekwa. I'm calling from Alapo College.
All right, sir.
I'm enjoying the health part of the program. The doctor is really giving us what I would have asked. Question that I already in my mind.
Okay.
So he has touched all the areas. So
Alhamdulillah.
I'm enjoying it. So for somebody who is having an ulcer.
Okay.
And they be using their mist mask before Sahu.
Okay.
Or after Sahu, which one is better so that to prevent attack?
All right. Thank you. The dietitian will respond to that for those probably who are also patient. So some of these, drugs that we try to take. So what would you say to that?
Well, in terms of the medication, I would say, obviously a doctor must have prescribed that medication for them, and it's also, like I did say earlier, if you have also have that conversation with your doctor, they might be able to prescribe, a better, adjust the doses that you have, but obviously your doctor may be able to advise also, the appropriate time. It might be helpful to use it at sahur time and also at iftar time. But I would say, because I'm not a doctor and I haven't prescribed this medication, so it's just really best to, speak with the doctor. But there might be possibility of you using it at sahur time and also at iftar. One thing I can say from the diet side of things is that pap, cooked pap, not odd pap, what we call ogi, can also be a natural antacid that can help you calm ulcers. So during fasting is one of the things that you can also, utilize without adding, extra sugar to it. Just, cook up once it's cool. You can find it really helpful also.
Wow. For me, I know the long-running battle I've always had against pap. But then now that you have said it, probably I have a nutritional change to that. All right, so very quickly, we'll be having our closing statement now. Let me come to you, Sheikh. We know quite well that, a common Ramadan experience is strong motivation at the beginning that fades midway. So from a spiritual perspective, why does this happen so often? And how does entering Ramadan without intentional preparation contribute to this spiritual decline, where you start on a high, 2-3 pages of Quran, at every interval, and suddenly it becomes even difficult for you to read a page of the Quran in the middle of the month or towards the end? So,
I used to say something, and I will say it here too. You see, when your life changes and the pattern is more of spirit and influencing others to walk your own way, and you enjoy what you are doing, it means Allah has accepted from Allah. You are unknown. But if you start better and you dwindle and you start fading, it means that Ramadan is questionable.
Mm.
So if the involvement is right, the result will be okay.
Mm.
When you are conscious, you become alert.
Mm.
When you are alert, you become awake. If those three sequences do not work, forget it. You are not in Ramadan.
Mm.
When you enter with all consciousness, and you have at the back of your brain that it is not your mind, the back of your brain, which you use to think in every day, you know that this thing is going to last 30 days, and you put in all your efforts, then you are awake.
Mm.
And when you are awake, you are alert. Do not, at the beginning of Ramadan, give yourself too much job to do.
Hmm.
I want to finish the whole Quran in 3 days. Don't do it. You will get wicked. The Holy Prophet Muhammad, some of the Sahabas came to him and said, "Oh Prophet, because Ramadan is good, because fasting is good, we want to be fasting through the year." Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "No." The second group came and said, "We are going to be fasting one day and leaving one day like the fasting of Dawood." The Prophet said, "No." Why? Because man, political insana, da'ifan, people are created with their souls and body to be weak and as a group. I got collectional insana fi asanita. We mean we have created man to be very strong at the beginning when you are a young person on the adolescent age, but you are going to return to the weaker stage. So it happens in all ramifications. So don't put yourself into too much spiritual job. I'm going to stand up, not sleeping, sleep well. I'm going to do nafila 100. Don't. do just 10, do 5, do 2, so that you can be able to become consistent. Mm. Whatever you can not become consistent upon and you impose it or serve in Ramadan, you will look like those who are doing fatherhood or brotherhood in Christianity. Mm. Allah says, "Ma katabnaha alayhim," we did not enjoin it on them. They started by themselves. "Wama ra'awha haqqa riayataha," and they cannot complete the accumulation of those jobs the way they started, because the body will get weak, the soul will get weak. Something must injure you. But when it is within your reach, you say, it is just 5 rakas, it's just 10 rakas, I can finish it. You will continue to be able to finish it. And when you are weak, please leave. Allah will not credit you for overstressing yourself. He doesn't credit you for that. Right. He will credit you for doing it well.
All right.
So why you get weak is because you have taken too much at the beginning. Just like the nutrition said, if you drink more water, your body will see it as a body and will expunge it.
All right. But yeah.
Okay.
All right. Jazakumullah khair. Now, Haji Hafsa, on a closing note now, if you have people that are managing chronic health conditions and they could just adopt one practical habit before Ramadan begins, so what would you recommend as the most impactful step towards fasting safely and sustaining their well-being throughout the month? You are muted.
Sorry, yeah. I would just say it's very important for you to go for your health check before you start Ramadan. You know, prioritize your health. Allah doesn't want you to harm your health. So it's very important that as you're setting all these Ramadan goals, like the number of pages you want to read, also set health goals. Ensure that you want to optimize and improve your health during Ramadan. It's a time when you have that discipline to do it also. So make it a priority and then keep doing. Personalize everything you need to do. You know, you can never go wrong by personalizing nutrition and diet and lifestyle and all of that. So just focus on that and also see it as an act of ibadah too.
All right, Jazakumullah khairan. Thank you very much. It's been a wonderful pleasure. In fact, this is actually a balanced, conversation between faith and health, you know, how we can manage both together in terms of our preparation towards Ramadan. So on behalf of Muslim Public Affairs Center and the management of Women Radio, I'd like to appreciate our guest, Sheikh Abdulrahman Adangba, for the spiritual insight, and Haji Hafsa Folashade Obatunde for the nutritional and health approach to our preparation to Ramadan. Jazakumullah khairan. Thank you very much for the insight that you have shared on the program.
Thank you for having us.
All right, Jazakumullah khairan. Thank you. And to our callers, Jazakumullah khairan. And to those who wished and probably who are watching live on YouTube, and those who eventually watch later, would like to appreciate you for doing this. And let's just remember, we also want to appeal to our listeners and everyone that this holy period that we want to enter in Ramadan, and coincidentally also actually coincide with the Lent of the Christians. So we just want us all to use this opportunity to also pray for the nation and have a mindset shift for the benefit of ourselves and the society. Jazakumullah khairan. It's a pleasure having you. So you can listen again to this episode or the previous episodes.
I want to add some a type of a note.
Yes, sir.
Not just pray for the nation. Discuss positively about the nation.
Okay. Yeah. All right, sir. All right, sir. So beyond the prayers, okay, we should discuss positively. Yes.
A Muslim and a Christian, except for Salat. We are all humans.
All right. All
right. And we should not call for the killing of one another.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Humanity comes even before religion, so we must recognize that. All right. Jazakumullah khairan. So you can listen again to this episode and other previous episode of Everyday Muslim on empark-fng.org. So there you see Everyday Muslim past uploaded episodes. Follow Everyday Muslim on social media, Facebook Everyday Muslim, Instagram Everyday Muslim 01. So inshallah, the program will make its way back to your airways next week, same time, 11 a.m, same station, WFM 91.7 FM. I remain Abdul Hakim Qasim. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
To sponsor this program, call the number 0816 480 7613. Ramadan.
All the people are coming.